Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and you're listening to the Affair Recovery Library Q&A call, November 21st, 2011. So let's get on to our first question. Here we go. Dear Rick, my affairs took place with people at work. One of them moved to a different department. I occasionally see them in the halls with a little more than a hey. My most recent affair took place with someone who's not there every day. I, for the most part, can avoid having any kind of contact with this person. I can't guarantee 100% no contact in the case of staffing beyond my control. My husband and I have discussed the options of my changing jobs. There are pros and cons to this idea. I am willing to do what it takes to restore my relationship. I also want to make the right choice. Is a job change always mandated? Always a mandated answer, even if it means more stress for me and maybe bad hours, which would add extra stress to our already shaky home life. My husband isn't saying, change jobs. He's saying, what are you going to do about this? I am saying I'm willing, but I think I can and want to avoid contact with this person, and changing jobs means hurting us more. Part of me says a fresh start is what I need, even at work, but part of me is unsure. I wanted to ask for your professional opinion in this matter. Is it a mandatory kind of decision to change jobs equaling zero contact? I feel like my affairs are running down, the wrong rabbit trail for a time, and I want to get back on the main path. I don't understand how I got off. But I know I never want to do it again, except I have done it again. I am in the process of trying to understand my own behavior, but even in this work, I feel like I can handle it. But it causes my husband pain to think about me being there. But even in a new job, I am there. I'm the problem. What's the answer? That's a great question. Thank you. I'll tell you, a job change is not always mandated. Frequently, though, it is a very wise decision to change jobs. I think it depends on the type of affair. In a limerent relationship, I would say almost always, unless there's some really, really, really good boundaries and a really good reason not to change jobs. And I think that if it's more of a one-night stand type of situation, avoiding contact can work. There are really two issues you've got to explore, and I think you addressed it nicely in the question. One is the problems that it's causing for your husband. The second, I think is the probabilities of relapse with one of these individuals. If relapse feels like it's fairly low probability because of your recovery work and things like that, potentially it could work. But if all possible, I would make the job change, I believe, just because the fresh start is good and it really eliminates a lot of reminders. And you're going to find the person that has the more difficult path of recovery is going to be your husband. So hopefully that would work out. But I know sometimes it's difficult. If it doesn't work out, you've got to figure out a way to make him feel comfortable. I think maybe telling him if you saw this other person during the day, what all the interactions were. But be sure to let him know each and every day what's going on, or potentially text him at that moment. So at least he knows you're going to be honest and communicating with him in the process. And if you did that, I think there's a possibility that he would be able to maybe tolerate that, and then maybe you could just keep looking and wait till you find the right position to move to if you still, if you're going to find a new job. I wouldn't put your family in a worse situation if you can avoid it. Second question, how much do you share? My husband doesn't want the details of the affair. I at times am caught up in my thoughts thinking about how it all started, things that were said, etc. I think the most thing that will help us now is for me to be completely open and transparent. Even though I have nothing else to lose and the full truth is out without all the details, it is still so hard to start the conversation about the things I have done or the way I think that led to my behavior choices. I often struggle to just open my mouth and speak. I guess I'm asking, how much do I share? What is healthy or leads to a healthy end? As I am typing, I'm thinking that I could always start and my husband could decide if it is something he wanted to hear. Is that the answer? Well, I think first off, you tell your husband that you're willing to share as much as information as he would like, that he gets to determine the level of detail. I don't think there is a right or wrong level of detail necessarily. He does need to know basically what happened at a high level. But there does come a point in detail where it's what I call comparison questions, where literally, you know, he's just finding out more about what you did with this other person versus him, and he compares himself to the other person. That sort of sharing, I feel like, is very non-productive, and I just don't think it's going to be helpful at all to him. So I would ask him if he wants any more level of detail, continue to be willing to give him, answer any questions that he has, but I wouldn't give him more than he wants. And I think if you can remind him that you're willing to answer any other questions he has, and then be sure just to speak truthfully. The other thing you mentioned in here was you've been thinking a lot at the beginning, I forget how you said it exactly, of how it all started. I really wouldn't, unless you're with a therapist, I wouldn't give that stuff a lot of airtime simply because it can serve as an activator to kind of change your focus. So be careful with that. Next question. On November 7th, you answered my question regarding when to say enough is enough. Thank you for your time, and the answer did help me. You mentioned that a big help would be if my husband were to be involved in some kind of support group that could help him stay on track. We attended the EMS weekend and have since participated in our weekly calls. He's been a willing participant in the calls, but that is the only group that he's involved in. He does go to church with me almost every Sunday, but that's about it. We do have a godly friend who's willing to help and meet with him, but up until now, he has not accepted that offer of help or friendship. He's also a workaholic. And his reasons for not going to counseling or getting involved in anything else is his lack of time to do so. He has admitted to carrying on and loving his career too much, and that he knows that this doesn't help our situation. His affair was with a coworker, so it makes that much harder for me, although I'm trying to learn how to deal with this and live with it. However, an absent husband makes it very hard for recovery. I've been very honest with him in letting him know how this affects me, that he needs to put some kind of time limits in order to help our marriage if he wants to work on it. Now his work hours are about to increase as he joins a new unit in his workplace, and I'm at a loss as to how this could work with him gone so much. What would you suggest would or might work in his kind of situation? In your experience, do marriages that have gone through an affair and also have so many days of separation work? Also, at what point does a trial separation turn into a good idea? And what are the pros and cons to this? I fear that there's no real change on his side and that he'll relapse. Since our last talk, I've noticed an increased effort on his side, but my experience with him, as I mentioned last time, he's motivated to change for a time, but then it fades. I feel at a loss to what to do in this situation and don't know where to go from here. Any advice would be most appreciated. Obviously, his ability to give you time is going to be very important, and I don't blame you for just almost the fear that gets kind of run up if the two of you aren't able to talk and the workaholism. I mean, I do want to, as you said, give him kudos for staying involved with the calls, but he's also got to decide what his balance is, and I would feel more comfortable, I think, as you, if you were taking more responsibility instead of just saying, I won't do it again. It's almost like when he's on the calls, he's trying to facilitate your healing, but I can understand why it makes you nervous, because it doesn't look like he's doing anything for his healing. I'll tell you, the Hope for Healing group for someone like this is still a really good option, simply because it meets early in the morning or late at night, so that he would have an opportunity to be with other guys and begin to talk about this. But he's got to be the one to make that particular call. One of the things that, and you asked the question about separation. Separation, I usually recommend if a couple is really stuck, or if the interactions, in fact, this is even more, if the interactions are so negative that it's doing kind of irreparable damage to the core of the relationship. In that situation, I would recommend the separation. But I think for your husband, a lot of times, there has to be almost like this failure, a place where they begin to see that maybe what they're doing isn't enough, and obviously he's convinced at this point that there's not going to be a problem. That would lead me to believe that probably having a problem will be the next thing that kind of gets him to the next level of doing whatever it takes. I hope that's not the case. If you can, just let him know that it would, because you can't be his motivation, but let him know that you're scared and that it concerns you gravely and you appreciate everything he's doing, but it does scare you. And that's about, and we'll see. I do hope that he doesn't, I hope he gets it and gets involved at least with somebody. So thank you for writing in again. I appreciate it. I wish I had a better answer for you. Okay. So my husband sent me an email, which is his first initiation with me in some time. What do I do? I want our marriage, and he has deep wounds, and I want to keep our healing and forgiveness toward a wonderful, honest marriage together, but he's telling me that he doesn't want to go forward. At this point, when someone is at a place of saying they don't want to go forward, I would meet with him and express your concern, what your wishes, what your goals are. But if someone is pulling out of a relationship, if you sit there and try to guilt them, or if they feel like they're being manipulated or controlled, then they'll continue to go back the other direction. So I think just honoring them and treating them with the same respect with which you would like to be treated, and just showing them care and concern is probably the best approach when you're at this stage of a relationship. And then how they respond, you just pray. Just remember, however, that you don't know what's good or bad, what needs to happen, and you never can tell the end of the story by the beginning. And you have no idea how things may or may not turn out.
I've lost all hope. Yesterday was a day beyond any comprehension of pain. Knowing all of what my husband has heard from so many professionals and yet still chooses not to speak to me, I would like some advice as to what to tell my children that they're dead. I will not be going away for Thanksgiving with us. This is my choice. I cannot bear to see the anger and the rage and the upset from my family. Well, obviously, this one's a little bit late. I apologize because I know that Thanksgiving has already passed. I think I wouldn't talk necessarily about if they're at this point. I really believe that the best thing to tell the children is their dad is making choices that are very hurtful, and that you don't understand necessarily why he is so angry. I would also see if he'd be willing to do some family therapy. I think in a situation like this, where maybe a therapist could help facilitate the conversation, helping the kids not understand why he's so much upset about the marriage, but just about maybe his, that it's not about the children. And I think that's the main message I'd want to give the kids is that this isn't about you. And and when you talk about not going away to Thanksgiving with us, you say, you know, this is my choice. And I don't know if you told, if part of his rage is about what all is going on here. Man, I wish I had more information. I think I'm just kind of rambling as I look at this. Knowing all of what my husband has heard from so many professionals and yet still chooses not to speak to me, I would like some advice on what to tell my children that their dad will not be going away for Thanksgiving with us. This is my choice. Maybe I think since you have in here, this is my choice, I would tell them that you've, because of some things that are not resolved between you and their father, you feel like you've made the decision for him not to come with the family. Because you don't know that you could treat each other as a husband and a wife ought to be able to treat one another on a trip like this. Therefore, you know, if you can't be respectful with each other, you feel it's best that y'all don't be together and win the holiday for everyone. I think that's probably the way I would handle that at this point. But again, I wouldn't tell them anything more than you don't think you'd be able to speak with each other in the way that you ought to be speaking with each other as a husband and a wife. Also in here you put, I cannot bear to see the anger and rage he has for me. I'm assuming potentially you were the one that was unfaithful. If that's the case, another thing I would tell the kids is that, you know, I, at a point in our relationship, failed to treat your dad as I should, and he is really upset about that right now. And I don't blame him for being upset, but if we can't treat each other respectfully, it's still not safe for us to be together, which is why we're going separately over the holidays. And hopefully, giving that sort of answer would, I think, help the kids understand a little bit and maybe help protect his relationship with them in that process also. That's a good question. I'm sorry I rambled so long trying to get to an answer to that one. I hope everything is well for Thanksgiving. I know that it's got to be incredibly difficult. So for the next question. My husband has two confirmed affairs in our nearly 35 years marriage, both within the last 8 years. I'm finding myself questioning his previous fidelity due to my constant lack of feeling safety for years due to no boundaries and wandering eyes, etc. We are currently in the paperwork stage of divorce, and he's been out of the house for 8 months due to the second affair. He says he's not involved with the current woman, but honestly, I don't believe him. I know the Lord has told me to move out of the way, and I have done so. My heart is breaking, needless to say, and I feel very betrayed and rejected. We actually love each other very much, or so I thought. I have had women tell me he's made advances toward them both before and after his latest affair, etc. I wonder if there is far more to the story than meets the eye. I know he struggles with accepting God's love and forgiveness, and probably even mine. I don't need to intervene, for God has clearly told me to get out of the way, but I do have questions and wonder if there will ever be a time to question, or should I just wait for God to reveal? I'm content to wait for God to reveal, and until my husband will have to crash before anything changes for him. He's isolated himself for years, and our relationship has had codependent issues. I've been working on those issues for several years and do understand how they damage us. Being an avoider, I don't think he sees his own codependency. He's cut off communication for every friend and family member he knows, including his four children, unless they reach out to him, and mostly they don't. So sad. I will stay out of the way, but just wonder what your thoughts were. What do I do for me? Is it important for me to truly know if there's more to his addiction? And is it considered addiction? How will this hinder my healing and the healing of our children? He's never apologized and is not repentant. He defends himself to this day and does admit that God is not okay with this, but follows it with, God and I are okay. I appreciate any answers you might have for me as I continue to heal. Well, there are kind of two ways to continue a relationship like this. One would be, well, probably three. He might be more than willing to be back together if things went back, if you just got over it and didn't question and you went back to the same old relationship. However, if you've truly been doing codependency work, then you probably wouldn't do that. Therefore, I think the first option would be out, nor would I even recommend the first option, because it wouldn't be healthy for you, nor would it be healthy for him. The second alternative, you potentially could go back with him without the answers. But the problem with that one is you could never know whether or not he's really safe. And in almost how much you could really engage with someone like that and trust him, I think would be very limited. So it would actually be a relationship based far more on detachment. I don't know if that's really in his best interest. Potentially, it might be in the best interest of your kids, depending on if you still have kids at home. I don't know. But again, I don't see a lot of safety in a relationship where someone's not taking responsibility, and I would worry both about your health and potentially what would happen again in the future. Because as I listen to what you're writing, all I can say is, according to that, his heart's really hard. And it's very much about not getting it at this point, and it sounds pretty self-centered. And so there's not going to be a way for him to see it any differently. Now, the third approach to me would be his hitting bottom and literally taking a new, I guess, seeing it differently and taking responsibility. Can you heal without knowing what happened? Yes, but I don't know that you can heal in a way that you could truly be in a relationship. Once you know what happened, then you know how to forgive. But you also know that he sees it, and he's taking responsibility for it, and that would make him safe enough potentially to be in a relationship with. But apart from that, the concern I would have is he really safe enough to be in there, and does he really understand your love for him? The thing I learned is I could never be loved unconditionally by my wife as long as I only conditionally let her know who I was. And for me to rebuild trust, the first step was I had to trust her with that information, and I had to take responsibility for what I had done. And it doesn't sound as if he's at that place. So I guess the course of action of being separated from him and waiting and praying, to me, is a good idea. I don't know whether or not this is an addiction without his beginning to address the issue and letting you know what has happened. It sounds like the grooming behaviors, again, according to what you've written, that there is certainly a pattern here that he's been using probably to get attention or to get validation. I don't know how strong that particular draw is. You ask, is it important to truly know if there is more to his addiction? Absolutely. Again, for your safety, unless he's addressing it and you know what it is, there's no way you can ultimately calculate the probabilities of something happening again and determining whether or not you could ever be safe in the relationship. So certainly I believe for you to be able to move forward, unless you're very unique and or have a tremendous amount of faith and you hear God telling you to do it, you're going to want to know what it is so you can determine the probabilities of things working out. And right now, keeping yourself safe to me seem to be a very logical way to go. And the last thing I would say, if God's telling you to get out of the way, then I would certainly honor that and get out of the way. So thank you very much for your question. I know this is an incredibly difficult situation, and I do hope that things work out for you. I'll be praying for you. Next question. I'm living my life separated from my husband, not by my choice, for a second time in 3 years. This year will be the first time we didn't spend Thanksgiving together in 21 years. He didn't call our daughter either to greet her when she's in college. He came over Friday after I decided to buy me a new printer and install it when mine broke. He fixes things when they are broken and finds a way to make things better on a physical level. Why can't he believe if things are broken on another level, things broken at another level can also be fixed, restored, and made better? Friday, he initiated hugging me 3 times in 1.5 hours he was home. I was nice, but not leading or engaging, and kept very busy. He also said Happy Thanksgiving to me and also Merry Thanksgiving. He wanted to take my photo with an academic honor received. I told him no thanks, knowing I would get a photo later on. My question. This was a new experience for us. His obstacles of fear and doubt led him to conclude that we could not work out. How can he come to know, trust, see things differently in order for his mind and heart to know that love and acceptance of his disabilities, weaknesses, and limitations can be healed? I know he wants to feel and be empowered, and that's good. What about empowering him to save himself and our marriage? Well, first off, when you put here, his obstacles of fear and doubt led to that we could not work out, it almost sounds to me like you're assuming that he doesn't see that you could be different. My first thought is probably more that he doesn't want to be different, and that's a good excuse. In his own mind, his justification for doing what he's doing. And sometimes, you know, healthy to him may not be that appealing. When you talk about being healed, at this point, there may be other things that drive him and make him not that interested in being healed. Instead, he may just be wanting what he wants. I don't know. When you talk about he wants to feel empowered, and that's good, but about empowering himself to save our marriage, and maybe it's empowered. My concern is sometimes with people who really want to be empowered is what they really want is what they want, and they want to be able to do what they want to do.
and we're 100% totally self-centered. Most of the people that I feel like need to be empowered are the ones that feel like they have no power, and so I'm always trying to go the other way. People who are trying to feel really like they're in control or in charge, or they're getting what they want, a lot of times they almost need to go the other way. I mean, he may need to almost experience the lack of benefit in the direction he's currently going, that there is no benefit to following the path. That would be kind of my thought as I listen to all of this. And hopefully over time, he'll begin to see that getting what he wants here isn't giving him ultimately what he wants. And in that case, he might begin to consider other alternatives. And I do hope that he hits bottom and is able to begin to heal. So that's the end of our questions for this week. I want to thank everybody for writing in, and look forward to picking up the conversation next week. I hope everybody has a good week. Good night.